When we lived in Laos, we lived differently than the kids do today in America. We knew how to do field work and to grow food. If we weren't old enough to go to the field, then we stay home and would have to fetch drinking water. We were self-sufficient and could provide for ourselves. We didn't have worries about life. When I was young, we did not have a written language. Instead, every night before bedtime, the elders would tell us about our history, how our great-grandparents fled China and crossed the Red and Green Rivers into Laos. They would tell us each leg of the journey.
The elders say that the Hmong written language was written on cowhide during the time of war against the Chinese. During the war, paper was scarce. As the war progressed and the food ran out, the Hmong had to use the cowhide as food. Thus, it is said that the Hmong ate their language and that the Hmong language and spirit is in the heart and mind of the Hmong, not in their ability to write.
In Laos, we worked very hard, and each family lived in different villages. However, the new year allowed all of us to come together. It was like a big party. At the new year grounds, you would look to see who was the prettiest. When you saw someone you liked, and they kind of liked you, you would follow them to see where they lived, so you could come back later with your flute and jar harp.
When it is still early in the evening, the boy would first play the flute to let the girl know he is around. Later in the evening, he would come near the house and play the jaw harp. After a while, if the girl really liked the boy, then she would go out to talk to him. Then you would both go your separate ways early in the morning. After a while doing this, if you love each other, then you would get married.
Sometimes, when you are singing Gitsia, you sing about how we can become husband and wife. The boys might say in their lyrics, "If I marry you, I won't let you work out in the hot blazing sun. I will let you work only in the cool shade. However, if you do marry her, she's the one you make go work in the hot blazing sun."
If they know that your parents are hard workers and respected in the village, then they would ask for your hand in marriage. You would then get married and go live with your husband's family. There was no courtship such as dating or holding hands. It wasn't expected, and it was embarrassing to do those things. Even today, as old couples, we don't hold hands or show affection in public. We have large, loving families and are raising successful kids. We just all get along and live as one big family.
It wasn't because we heard how great and rich this country was that we wanted to come here. We didn't even know what it had to offer. We only came as visitors to stay a while and return to Laos. The reason why we came to America was that in 1975, the country fell to communism. A leader, General Vang Pao, then left Laos, and the Hmong people had to fend for themselves.
In the end, we didn't lose the war because the country is still as it was before the war. But the Americans left and took all the soldiers and weapons.
When we left, we could only carry a small bundle of rice grains to cook and eat, our small children, and the clothes on our backs.
We lived in the jungle for several years, eating what we could find, things like roots, leaves, bamboo shoots, and bark. The communist soldiers would chase us from mountain to mountain, killing us. Our leaders finally told us to go to Thailand, and whoever makes it, makes it.
The journey was very difficult, because we had to go over the mountains. If you got hurt, stepped on a landmine, or were hit by falling rocks, you were just left behind because no one could carry you. It would only slow the group down, which meant risking everyone's lives. The next day, we went down to the other side of the mountain and slept at the bank of the Mekong River.
To cross the river, we cut bamboo poles this long. Each person used two poles, one under each arm. We then put our children on our backs and swam for our lives to the other side.
I gave three poles to my wife because she was carrying our son, Ye, on her back. I only used one pole to help keep me afloat, which I put under my armpit. I then tied a rope to my wife so I could lead them across the river.
Everyone in our group made it. The group after ours, they all died. Let me be the one who has the rough life, so my children don't have to live a rough life too. Children need to learn both Hmong culture and American culture to survive. Let us elders be the ones who live the rough and hard life.
But, you know, there's a lot of things I need to change, you know, because we are Hmong Juana. I hate the hot pink. I hate the fluorescent green.
Up. Welcome to another episode of Hmong Talk. I'm your main man tonight, Chuku. All you viewers out there, we got a treat for you tonight. This is the first episode of a series of shows that we're going to be dedicating to some of the bands that played at the first annual Hmong Online Party.
The young people today, they think our moms are nerdy. They say, no. Our mom and dad know how to groove before MC Hammer could do this move, right? I'm just going to ask them to show us in Hmong how they grind the rice in Laos, okay?
I don't know whether I'm Hmong or American. I just kind of feel like I'm caught between.
There's lots of challenges of actually being a traditional Hmong person. The American society doesn't really understand what we're doing.
Today we have to get an education and work hard, and the Hmong tradition does not allow that. It just takes way too much time, and time is everything.
Being American means adapting to your environment. A lot of kids nowadays, they don't speak Hmong at home at all. They're too used to being Americanized that Hmong isn't really important.
I believe that every person has their rights to choose what they want to become. And even if they want to assimilate, I believe that's fine, you know, that's your choice in life. But what you really have to understand is you're losing something so important of yourself, being Hmong.
What I'm afraid to lose is like, say our religion, because I think our culture is really based around that. The idea of like respect for your parents and stuff, I think that's also very important.
I regret not learning about our culture earlier. I regret not practicing it. And the greatest risk at not practicing it is not being Hmong anymore.
I think my generation, we kind of take the good ideas from both cultures and kind of try to mix it together. It's hard, but in the end, I think it's better for us.
To cross the river, we cut bamboo poles this long. Each person used two poles, one under each arm. We then put our children on our backs and swam for our lives to the other side.
I gave three poles to my wife because she was carrying our son, Ye, on her back. I only used one pole to help keep me afloat, which I put under my armpit. I then tied a rope to my wife so I could lead them across the river.
Everyone in our group made it. The group after ours, they all died. Let me be the one who has the rough life, so my children don't have to live a rough life too. Children need to learn both Hmong culture and American culture to survive. Let us elders be the ones who live the rough and hard life.
Believe me, I do, but you know, there's a lot of things I need to change, you know, because I hate the hot pink, I hate the fluorescent green.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Hmong Talk. I'm your main man tonight, Chuku. All you viewers out there, we got a treat for you tonight. This is the first episode of a series of shows that we're going to be dedicating to some of the bands that play at the first annual Hmong Online Party.
The young people today, they think our moms are nerdy. They say, Pian-chan-wa. No. Our mom and dad know how to groove before MC Hammer could do this move, right? I'm just going to ask them to show us in Hmong how they grind the rice in Laos, okay? Georgie!